We want to take a moment to shout out The Good Line for supporting this podcast. If you're building a brand, these guys can help you with websites, film, design. They're all about finding and telling stories that bring together a full brand experience. Check out the new Radio West Films website to find out what that means, or you can see what else they do at thegoodline.com.
In a state like Utah, the politics are pretty easy to predict a lot of the time. It's a Republican-controlled state house, and mostly they get their way. But there are always a few surprises during each legislative session, and we're going to hear about a couple. This is More to Say. I'm Tim Schlover, one of the producers. Lee Hale and I went up to the Capitol to catch up with KUER's Nicole Nixon and Julia Ritchie. They've got a whole other podcast about the 2018 session. It's called 45 Days. If you're interested in Utah politics at all, you should really check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Lee and I met Nicole and Julia in the basement of the Capitol, where all the reporters get their work done.
A lot of late night crying happens in here.
All the days blur together. I almost forgot Mitt Romney was here. Jeez.
You don't realize like how much you're covering when you're filing like two to three things every single day.
We wanted to ask them about a certain bill. It didn't end up going anywhere, but it had a lot of reporters really concerned.
Why don't you flow?
Okay. I saw a new bill file on a Friday afternoon. What it would have done is closed the House floor to reporters 45 minutes before their debates were supposed to begin. And then on Monday at noon, it was in a committee, it was in a rules committee, and there were journalists that we work with up here testifying against it.
I do worry that this measure sometimes conveys a message that the press, whose job it is to report on government use of tax dollars and creation of laws, that we're not welcome here and the public is not welcome here.
H.R. 4 would take that separation between lawmakers and the press to a much higher level. And essentially, you'd be creating another barrier between you and the public.
I think that what this does is it gives people an opportunity to dodge questions, to stay away from us.
The surprising thing is you always ask why, like why now, why did they introduce this, what was the problem, or what problem are they trying to solve, and there was really never an answer to that question.
Even when lawmakers asked, what is the problem here, we kind of got a non-answer.
Right.
They were like, oh, some of my colleagues are trying to prepare for the day, this is their time to collect their thoughts. I like to be a little bit snarky on Twitter, but when something like that happens, it's kind of hard to hold back. I mean, I don't feel bad showing my obvious bias that I'm against something like that.
Right. You try so hard not to give your opinion on things, which clearly we have opinions
but
on.
But when it does restrict your ability to do your job,
right?
I wouldn't feel bad about that.
Right. No, I went off on Twitter.
You had to basically do something that journalists are never, ever supposed to do, which is go and give an opinion and show an obvious bias. So
we didn't testify. We didn't go to that and get up and say, you should not pass this.
And we talked about it afterward that had we had more heads up on the hearing and I should have gone. And in fact, that was the discussion that we had, that should I have, as like, especially as a representative of our newsroom, gone to testify just like Jennifer Napier Pierce of the Tribune did, or Glenn Mills of ABC4. And I don't know, like, I think it would make me feel uncomfortable. So I'm almost glad that I missed it in a way. I mean, we were able to cover and post and include all those other voices. But you're always like, do I really need to put my voice in this? And does that undermine my work here? I felt what they did was totally out of bounds and completely antithetical to the First Amendment and all that stuff, but that I don't feel as strongly about other pieces of legislation that don't affect me as directly. And I think that was a really good lesson this session, is that they finally did something that really pissed me off, and I was able to take off my journalist hat, put on my advocate hat, and say, tell your lawmaker that it's not a good idea to avoid questions from the press. But then when other things come up that, again, don't affect me as directly, am I putting myself in the shoes of the person that might be affected by this piece of legislation? And so, I don't know, that to me was why I think that bill got so much attention, is because it did affect the people that are like literally in the basement of this building all day. So the little gremlins, they upset the little gremlins in the in the dungeon.
That press bill might have been one of the biggest stories of the session, if not for a certain viral video.
Lawmakers do have a sense of humor. I don't know whose idea it was, but they decided to put together a rap video to explain how a bill becomes a law.
This is a story all about how
our bills get flipped into a law.
I'd like to take a minute and just sit right there.
I'll tell you how a bill becomes law, and this is our chain bag.
We said, okay, they're gonna do all these really important things, and affordable housing and homelessness and teen suicide. And then the only thing anyone will remember from the 2018 legislative session is this terrible rap parody and maybe the Donald J. Trump highway that is currently
in limbo.
And I have a feeling that they did this video thinking that it would just be funny and, like, it would get a laugh and, you know, it would go around on social media for a day.
It's all part of Utah's new educational program, Schoolhouse Sucks.
Now that it has been shown on Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon and gotten over a million views on the internet, like, I don't know if whoever's idea that was is now regretting it. I sort of hope not, for their sake. I hope nobody's embarrassed.
From when this session started to now, how do you view lawmaking differently in the state?
I'd like to focus more on how public pressure plays into the decision-making process. Because, you know, we saw with the Parkland, Florida shooting, There was no gun legislation on state lawmakers' agenda this year. And then suddenly they're like, we're going to make a safety commission and we're going to introduce this red flag bill that ended up dying. But the fact is that the public still has a really important role in the process. And I don't think that that's explored enough in our reporting or in, frankly, any reporting that I've seen. And especially with some ballot initiatives that are coming up in November, we really saw lawmakers try to act to show how responsive they are to voters. And I don't think we've seen that in previous sessions, and I'd really like to see how much more pressure the public can put on lawmakers next year.
That was Julia Ritchie and Nicole Nixon. Listen to their final episode of 45 Days. That drops Friday, March 9th, and even if you haven't been keeping up, this is a great time to jump in. They're interviewing Governor Herbert, and they'll talk about the bills most expected to actually become laws. More to Say is a production of KUER News, produced by me, Tim Schlover, and Lee Hale. Doug Fabrizio will be back next week. Let's hear just a little bit more of that rap.
In a legislator's mind, an idea is raised.
In the law book is where they spend most of their day.
Drafting out, maxing out, hardly relaxing, all cool.
And all introducing bills inside of House chambers.
Okay, that's enough. Thanks for listening.
Are they making changes in committee on the Hill?